The message I have for you this morning is entitled, Where is Your Faith? Where is your faith? Join with me as we pray before we open God's Word. Father, this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would just take over this service, that you would speak your words of life, that, Father, that you would speak to each and every soul that is here today, that, Lord, I will not be seen, but that you will be seen, that I will not be heard, God, but that you would be heard, and that lives would be drawn closer to you through it all. We know that when your word is preached, it does not return back to you void. And so we claim that promise today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The story is told of a pastor. Now, this pastor was a very engaging pastor. He loved to preach sermons. And while he preached, he loved to observe those sitting in the crowd. And one day while he was preaching, he saw this lady sitting at the back of the church. And this lady, while he was preaching, blew a kiss. He noticed it, but shrugged it off and thought this must have been for someone else. The next time he was preaching, this same lady blew another kiss. This time, he thought, it looked like she was blowing the kiss to someone a few seats ahead of him. The next week, he preached, and while he was preaching, this same lady once again blew another kiss. Now, this time, he was sure that she was directing that kiss to him. So he decided that after the service, he would go up to this lady and speak to her to wonder what is going on. So the preacher asked this lady and approached her and said, why are you blowing kisses to me? Is there something that I'm missing? Lady said, oh, pastor, it's not what you're thinking. She said, don't you know what kiss means? K-I-S-S. Keep it short and sweet. Short and sweet is exactly what the disciples thought this journey that they were about to go on with Jesus would have been. Because Jesus told them, let us cross over to the other side. But this story tells us that this journey that Jesus took them on was nothing but short and sweet. The text tells us in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 that on the same day when the evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, the context of this story is that Jesus had been preaching all day long. He was preaching several discourses on the parable of the sower and the seed, the parable of the soil, and many other parables. And parables, as we know, are stories that have a deeper meaning. But now the day was about to end, and so everyone was tired. And so Jesus wanted a place of solitude, a place where he can go, where he can rest away from the crowd. The location that they were at was the Lake of Galilee or the Sea of Galilee. And when Jesus was referring to crossing over to the other side, he was referring to the eastern shore on the plain of Gennesaret. The distance to the other side was about 7 miles, which equates to about 11 kilometers. So it wasn't far. But Jesus knew that when he went to this place, that he would find rest. I don't know if you've been working hard to preach this gospel your entire life. Maybe you've been working hard your entire life to try and get people to come to Bay Roberts Seventh-day Adventist Church. Maybe you've been working so hard to preach the gospel at your workplace, to preach the gospel in your life so that people can hear and know about Jesus. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for a time when we can rest for eternity. A place where we can go and spend eternity with Jesus, and that place is heaven. John chapter 14 tells us, Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus wants us all to experience that eternal rest with him. And so I don't know if you've been walking with Jesus. I don't know if you know Jesus, but Jesus wants to spend eternity with you. He wants us all to go home with him. Now it tells us that Jesus went on the boat with his disciples. The boat is a symbol of the church, and we'll read more about this later. We're all on this boat together. See, the church is a place for people that are trying to go home, that want to leave this world and spend life eternity with Jesus. Now it tells us in verse 36 that when they had left the multitude, when they had left the crowd, Jesus took them along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. See, these other little boats, inspiration tells us that they were filled with people that wanted to hear more about Jesus. They wanted to hear more of the stories that Jesus was sharing. They were intrigued. But notice that Jesus didn't just tell his disciples by himself to go to the other side, but he told those on the other little boats, which contained people that wanted to hear more from Jesus, that they too would also come to the other side. In John chapter 10 and verse 16, Jesus says, I have sheep that are not of this fold. In other words, he's saying, I have sheep on these other boats, in these other churches. God has faithful people in other churches. But notice that the same text, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I don't know if you've ever heard testimonies of people from other churches, and when they hear the doctrine of the sanctuary, when they hear about the second coming, when they understand the truth about the state of the dead, when they hear these truths, they leave and they're happy to join Jesus because they're glad that they've learned the truth. See, these other people in the world, in these other churches, in these other boats, they love Jesus too, and they're journeying along with us. But in these last days, Jesus sends a direct message and says in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, come out of her, my people. Jesus is calling all of us to stay in the boat. Jesus is calling others to come into the boat. It doesn't matter what time you reach the boat. All that matters is that you reach it. And so while they're journeying, something happens on the journey. It tells us that in verse 37, a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So let's trace back to this story. It's been a long day. It's been a day filled with work. And now the disciples are traveling at nighttime. It's dark. And to add insult to injury, a storm arises. Things get from bad to worse. Trouble always seems to find trouble. It doesn't like to space itself out so that you can have time to recover. All the trouble that you don't want to happen all seems to happen at the same time. But Jesus doesn't want to remove us from these trials. Jesus wants to go with us through these trials. And so the disciples, they were filled with worry, filled with fear, filled with concern because they felt that their life was coming to an end. Now, while they were being filled with these array of motions, the boat was being filled with water. The water was flowing in so rapidly, so much so that the disciples felt that if it continued, that the boat would sink and they would ultimately lose their lives. I don't know if you can relate with the disciples. I don't know if you've ever had to experience a storm. Maybe you've experienced a storm in your finances, a storm in your job, a storm in your health, a storm in your family, a storm in your friendships, a storm in the church, a storm in your spiritual journey. I don't know if you've ever experienced a storm. You may even be going through a storm right now. And the bad thing about storms is that the waves don't wait for you to recover. It seems as soon as you recover, another wave comes crashing in. Storms happen in our lives. And we find that storms are happening right here in this story with the disciples. Maybe you're thinking, Lord, why so many storms? Lord, I didn't sign up for this. Lord, all I want is peace. To look at this story from another angle, water in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 15, water is a symbol of multitudes, peoples, nations. And as we looked at how this boat is a symbol of the church, a real symbol is that the story is telling us that the water being filled into the boat or into the church could be the ways of the society. It could be worldliness. It could be the fact that the ways of the world are making its way into the church. Maybe you've been in the church for a long time and you see things happening in the church now that you've never seen before. You may be wondering, Lord, how could this be happening? How could all these things that never happened when I was younger is happening in the church today? Is this church going to survive? Maybe you're even aware of the quote, that conformity to worldly customs converts the church to the world. It never converts the world to Christ. And so you're filled with worry and fear. You're thinking, Jesus can't be here. But I want you to go with me to verse 38. It tells us, but Jesus was in the boat. Whenever I see the word but, I get excited. Because it's a conjunction word. It separates from what was to what is. It tells us that Jesus was in the boat. It means that it doesn't matter how bad the storms are in your life. It doesn't matter how bad the storms may look like they're affecting the church. It doesn't matter how bad the storms are. The reality is that Jesus is inside of the boat. And so that should give us excitement. That should give us joy. Because the good news is that there is hope in King Jesus. First problem we find, though, is that even though Jesus is in the boat, he's not doing what one would think Jesus is doing. He's sleeping. I don't know about you, but that's a problem, that Jesus is sleeping in the midst of this storm. At camp meeting this year, I gave my devotion, and during my devotion, I said that I love to sleep. And so I'll say it here today. I like my sleep. And so Dr. Dan, if you remember him, he's from Loma Linda, and he was giving a series of presentations on health. And so when I said that point, he said, I'm going to steal that point for one of my presentations. And I said, why? What's the point you're trying to make? He said, his premise is this. He says that many people view sleeping as a bad thing. They view sleeping as lack of work ethic. They view sleeping as laziness. There's a negative connotation attached to sleeping. But in his mind, he said that we should flip the script. We should tell people to sleep more. As a church that upholds the right arm of the gospel, the health message, as we look in Radiant Living, you can see that it tells us the acronyms New Start and the R meaning rest. It means that we should prioritize rest in our life to have a balanced life. He says that there are three kinds of sleep: deep sleep, light sleep, and REM sleep, which stands for rapid eye movement. And that we need all these kinds of sleep to have a healthy lifestyle. And so Jesus prioritizes sleep. So that's a good thing. Amen? But what's also interesting is that, remember, there were these little boats traveling alongside the boat that Jesus was in with his disciples. And these people on the little boats wanted to hear Jesus. But Jesus was sleeping on the job. Imagine that, because the people wanted to hear him preach, but he said, I need to take a nap. We also need to prioritize sleep. Sleep is an important thing. But we find that not only was Jesus sleeping, he was sleeping on a pillow. I don't know about you, but when I think about my own life, I have a pillow too. But my pillow is at home. You guys have a pillow too? We all have a pillow at home. So would it be safe to say that Jesus has made this church his home? That Jesus has made himself comfortable in this church? And so no matter what storm arises, no matter how bad things get, Jesus is trying to tell us, I'm not going anywhere. This is my home. Jesus is quite comfortable in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a shaking, in the midst of division, in the midst of conflict. I'm glad to know that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. That Jesus stays with us in the boat. Where is your faith today? Where is your faith? Is your faith rooted in Jesus? Or is your faith rooted in something else? Next verse tells us that, and they awoke Jesus and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Jesus, don't you care that we are dying? Inspiration tells us that they had called out to Jesus two times before the account written in this scripture. So they had called out to Jesus before, but what they said, they just said, Jesus! The first time, no response. Then they said, Jesus! The second time, no response. And the scripture picks up the third time and it tells us, Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? Don't you care that we are dying? Now, when I see questions like this, I like to break it down for my mind to be able to absorb what they're really trying to say. Because some people like to go around what they're trying to say without just saying it with their chest. So we find this is what the disciples are doing, because they start off by saying, Teacher. Is Jesus a teacher? He was teaching all day. So everyone knew that Jesus was a teacher. So we can take that out. Then they say, Don't you care? Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. We know he cares. So you can take that part out. What they're really trying to say is, we are perishing. We are dying. Jesus didn't respond when they had just called his name. But when they said, we are dying, Jesus answered their cry. I'm so glad that if I call out to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm dying. I'm struggling in my sin. I'm struggling in my life. I'm struggling in my storm. Lord, I'm dying. When I say I'm dying, Jesus hears the cry. That's a good thing. We serve a God that hears us when we cry. The disciples sensed that their situation was a matter of life and death. They sensed that in a matter of a moment, that their life can slip out of their hands. You know, without Jesus, we're all dying. Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Death separates us from God, and without a Savior, we're all dying. But thanks be to God that no matter how far we are, no matter where we are, when we cry out to Him, He comes to our rescue. We find the rescue mission in verse 39. It tells us, "Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace be still,' and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." The disciples, after their plea for help, Jesus quickly gets involved. He stands up, he raises his hand, and says, "Peace be still." And the wind and the waves stop immediately. Jesus can speak life into your storm this morning. Jesus can speak peace into your life this morning. Jesus can bring you from a near-death experience and give you life. Jesus can take our unbelief and our storm-filled situation and give us a peace that goes beyond our greatest understanding. He stood up and, in only three simple words, calmed the storm that they were experiencing. And today, Jesus is here and He's available to calm the storms in our lives as well. If we say, "Lord, I'm dying," Jesus is here to say, "Peace, be still. I am your Savior and your Redeemer." If we say, "Lord, I don't know how to overcome this financial problem," Jesus is here to say, "Peace, be still, and know that I am your provider." If we say, "Lord, I don't know how to overcome this addiction," Jesus is here to say, "Peace, be still, and know I am the Lord that sanctifies you." If we say, "Lord, I don't know how to stop this storm in my life," He is here to say, "Peace, be still, and know that I am the peace speaker." Jesus is the peace speaker, and He is here to speak into our lives today. That's how Jesus can work in my life. That's how Jesus can work in your life. I don't know exactly what you're going through, but I know someone who does. I know someone who cares, and I know someone who can help, and His name is Jesus Christ. And despite what you may think, He can give you peace in your life. All you've got to do is call on Him and have faith in Him. What's interesting is that the servant of the Lord tells us that when Jesus was lying down on the pillow, and when the storm was raging, that He had peace. The entire time He had peace. And there's some validity to that, because we know that one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it tells us that unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be placed upon His shoulders, and they shall call His name Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And what's the last one? Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so if He is there with us, we don't have to worry about the storm. I want that to be my experience. I want to have peace in the midst of a storm. I want to have peace no matter what's going on in my life. But that starts by having faith in Jesus. Verse 40 tells us that Jesus said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" See, the storms had such an impact on their lives that it disrupted their faith. This is a scary thing, to have no faith in Jesus. In fact, it even tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. When I first read this text, it troubled me to see God and impossible in the same sentence. But faith means so much to God. And if we look in context of this story, the first thing Jesus said is, "We're going to the other side." And so for the disciples to look to Jesus after and say, that we are dying is to say that Jesus is not able and capable to accomplish what he promised he would do by saying, we are going to the other side. Do you see that point? And that's what we have to realize, is that we have to have faith to take God at his word. To have faith that because God said it, he will do it. Jesus calmed the storm, but he got down to the root of their problem, which was unbelief. And in context, I'm sure the storm was bad. I'm sure they felt like the boat would possibly sink. I'm sure things didn't look good in that moment. But when all else fails, this was a reminder to the disciples that, and even to us, that we should simply just take Jesus at his word. As I close, there is a quote by Thomas Carlyle. The quote tells us that the tragedy of life is not what men suffer, but rather what they miss. I'll say that again. Thomas Carlyle gives us this quote. He says, the tragedy of life is not what men suffer, but rather what they miss. The disciples thought that their tragedy was the storm. They thought that the suffering that it brought was their storm and their tragedy. And we too, we like to think that the storms in our life, we like to think that this is the tragedy. But what this quote is saying, and what Thomas Carlyle is trying to get us to know, is that it's rather what we miss. The disciples had missed an opportunity to demonstrate their faith in Jesus. They missed an opportunity to show Jesus that despite the severity of the storm, that they were going to trust Jesus, that he would take care of them and take them safely to the other side. They missed an opportunity to evangelize to those who were watching from the little boats, to show that they were with Jesus, but that they had faith that no matter how bad the storm was, that everything would be okay. We too sometimes, like the disciples, we miss the point. We miss the point that every storm that we experience is an opportunity for us to demonstrate our faith in Jesus. To continue to minister, to continue to serve, to touch hearts of people, even though our life is going through a storm. I'll ask the question, where is your faith this morning? Where is your faith? I hope that your faith is found in Jesus. Whether there's a storm in your life or whether there isn't a storm. There's a quote in God's Remnant Church, and it says, there is no need to doubt, to be fearful that the work will not succeed. God is at the head of the work, and he will set everything in order. If matters need adjusting at the head of the work, God will attend to that and work to right every wrong. Let us have faith that God is going to carry this noble ship, this boat which bears the people of God safely into port. That quote reminds us that no matter how bad things may seem, it reminds us that Jesus is going to take us safely to the other side. Jesus is going to take us home. Every day we're marching to Zion. There's a song that I love, and it is called The Peace Speaker. The song has lyrics, and it says this. It says, I know him by name. I'm glad I know the Peace Speaker. He controls the wind and the rain. And when he says, peace, be still, they have to obey. I'm glad I know the Peace Speaker. Yes, I know him by name. I encourage you this morning to get to know the Peace Speaker, to trust him at his word, to have faith that he can give you peace amidst the storm in your life. When the question is asked, where is your faith? May you say that it is found in Jesus Christ. And as we journey home, remember to hang on tight. that though this ride may get bumpy, though this boat may have some challenges along the way, that this boat is safely going to make it to the other side. May we hang on to the anchor that is Jesus Christ as he takes us safely home to spend eternity with him in happiness and in joy. God bless you.